tub blind.
Yeah, in the car concubines.
Ladies act like gents. What up, everybody? It is 10 a.m. in the District of Columbia. Points north, south, east, and west. Me and B are far south. We are in, Lauderdale? Where are we?
We're in Dania Beach.
Dania Beach.
Basically Lauderdale.
We're basically in Fort Lauderdale. We are down here. Yesterday, the Commanders had joint practices against the Miami Dolphins. It was a fun day. We got to broadcast live from the Dolphins practice facility, which was beautiful. Today is an off day for the team, so we're just chilling in B. Mitch's hotel room. Certainly not mine because there's a newly crowned 9-year-old and a very much 5-year-old.
Her birthday was yesterday, right?
Birthday was yesterday, man.
She had a great time?
Yeah, man. You know where we celebrate? Her choice, birthday dinner. Guess where we went?
Beach.
Margaritaville.
Her daddy was like, yes,
dude,
my baby.
It was something. We got to sit in a boat, like a table shaped like a boat.
Uh-huh.
The kids were going absolutely bananas the whole time. You know what Shelby ordered for her 9th birthday dinner?
What did she get?
Steak.
Oh, she told me that.
Oh, yeah.
She said that when we were flying here Wednesday. Yeah. You said, what are you going to get? She said, steak.
She enjoyed it, man. Shout out to
you. Could have sent it with me. I went to Rustic Inn.
How was that?
Oh, they have the world famous garlic crab.
Ooh.
I had king garlic crab, garlic blue crab, and Dungeness garlic crab.
Damn, dog. How's that breath? And that's a lot of garlic.
I came in that breath with teeth 4 times. I also had a lobster roll. They were the ones that say are from Maryland,
crabs? Yeah,
but they
Jeff,
were probably right here from the Gulf, somewhere down here in the area where the crabs really come from. But they didn't. They taste. Listen, man, that garlic sauce they made is unbelievable.
I bet.
But the lobster roll, it had so much lobster meat in that thing, bro. It was unbelievable. I ate all of it. The guys say, "You got somebody joining you?" I say, "No."
That sounds like a strong expense account meal right there. I heard a lot of crab and lobster, garlic.
I don't think the expense account will even come close to what that costs. if they paid me for breakfast.
If you turn that in, they're kicking you out.
If I turned it in for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, I still owe over $170.
All right, so B and I are holding it down here. They got the game tomorrow night. I'm actually really curious about this preseason game for a lot of different reasons. I think it'll be fascinating to see, starting with this quarterback situation, because you've got Jaden Daniels, obviously, who really impressed yesterday. Then you've got Mariota's down for the week because he tweaked his groin, right? So you've got Driscoll, Florida Gator, Louisiana Tech. Texter? What are the Louisiana Techs, B? Do you know? I think the ladies' basketball team is the Lady Texters.
That's what they call them. But I forgot what Louisiana Tech, the mascot was.
Louisiana Tech.
Just didn't like them.
Football. Louisiana Tech mascot is the Bulldogs. All right. So you've got Jeff Driscoll, former Gator, former Bulldog.
He's from Louisiana Tech?
He played 3 years in Florida and then transferred to Louisiana Tech.
Jeff, another tidbit. He was drafted Major League.
Baseball?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Yep. Pitcher?
I don't know. I know he was drafted. I've been looking through the little notes.
Be getting all his tidbits
Things
ready
been
for
popping
tomorrow.
Up, man.
Yeah. But then Sam Hartman's hurt. We saw him throwing a little bit yesterday, but you know, throwing and being able to take, certainly not being able to play, but and throwing versus being able to take a hit are two very different things. So you're going to see Trace McSorley probably in the fourth quarter of this game. That's going to be fascinating to watch, and the O-line's going to be fascinating to watch. There's so much fun stuff for this game tomorrow that I really kind of want to go through and see. Maybe we'll open the phones up and let people tell us what they want to see most tomorrow. The battle for the second wide receiver is very much real. But the practice might be what was more important yesterday.
Yeah.
And I think a big takeaway for me is that they looked significantly better than they did against the Jets.
They did. They did. They seemed to be hitting the ground running and ready yesterday. The thing about it is when you're going against the Dolphins, you're going to be tested, especially as a defense. I forgot what number it was. He ran past St. Juice, but the ball wasn't there. And I had a talk with Martin Mayhew this morning. I told him, I said, when when you have speed, that speed can get you out of trouble and it can get you in trouble. Because if you have any pressure on the quarterback where he throws it too soon and waits too long, the speed can run away from it or you just can't get it there. You know, you have to be damn near perfect at all times. And they were able to pressure those quarterbacks enough to where they couldn't sit, do their little the hit step, and let the ball fly in rhythm.
Yeah.
And that helps out the defensive backfield as well. But I did not see guys looking like they were lost or did not belong.
No.
Say it like that.
Yeah. I agree with you. And we'll see what happens tomorrow night. We don't know who all Miami's going to play, how that's all going to shake out. I am getting the tweets. So for folks that are looking for the stream, I think we have a little tech issue. For once, not on Brian and I's end, actually.
I was looking for the little
B was setting up a shot and everything. I think it's back in studio. But let's say good morning to the boys. We have the great Landini back. Good morning, Landfill. How do you do?
Hello.
What up?
Did you miss us?
No.
Did you listen to the program yesterday?
Nope. I did watch the stream for about 26 seconds.
Wow. How'd we look? Hot?
You were sitting down.
Yeah, we were sitting down. Good call. What's remarkable is the weather yesterday was super hot all morning while we were doing that, while we were doing the show. And I'm not complaining. We're in Florida in August. It's going to be hot. But while we did radio, we were able to be outside. And then once the radio ended, when we needed to film some stuff for television, we weren't allowed to be outside anymore because that's when the storm started. And it looks like more storms are coming today. The cloud cover is pretty significant. But the weather outside, the temperature outside now is kind of perfect.
Yeah.
Dude, it's like cool with a breeze, which would have been nice for practice yesterday. Jeffrey, how are you, buddy?
I'm great, man.
Okay. Glad to hear it.
Well, when I woke up this morning, I basically said, oh, okay, the skies just opened up. It was a storm out there.
Yo, last night it was storming.
This morning it was like that. I'm like, I immediately took my hat. I was taking out my golf bag. I'm like, damn, man, I bought this golf bag for nothing. And then all of a sudden it just stopped and I checked out the weather. And it's supposed to be real good by the time we end the show.
There you go. Okay.
You know where I'm on my way to.
I know where you're on your way to. You know where I'm on my way to?
Beach.
The banana boat, apparently. The kids want to ride the banana boat. It'll be me, LeBron, D. Wade, and my family. It'll be a blast. I tried to make like a frisky banana boat joke to my wife, and she just told me to shut up. Mm. So it's great having your entire family in one hotel room, let me tell you.
That's not true, but okay.
We have breaking news. Mm. Breaking news on the fan. Who's ready for it?
I'm ready.
We got jersey announcements.
Oh, Lord.
Yo, people care about this, B. I know you don't, but Commanders fans, Jeff, do you care about what jerseys they wear for what game?
Yes.
Yeah, dude, I'm telling you.
Let me ask you a question.
Hold on.
Let me ask you one. Why do you care about which jersey they wear for what game?
We have to stop letting Beamish get away with this I don't care about jersey things. He bitches and moans when somebody wears 30 that he doesn't think is approving.
Ooh, that's a fair point.
First of all, hold on. That's me
it's
having
unfair to LeRon
that's me
Lynch.
Having a preference of somebody being garbage wearing a number that I thought I helped look real good. But the color of a jersey during the game has nothing to do with what you're talking about, Lando.
AB, you have some fans and you have some fanatics. It's some people that, you know, they want to have their jersey ready for the game if it's going to be a blackout game.
I understand that, but my whole
burgundy.
Thing is, does the color of the jersey help you win or lose a game?
Well, it's funny you ask. I believe they've never won wearing those new black uniforms.
Okay. Well,
I could be wrong
on
that.
In other words,
they definitely have a losing record.
Should they just throw them away?
Maybe.
No, I just think that instead of acting as if the jersey makes a difference, the players have to get better and the play get better. And I think that is happening.
I think two things can be true. I think you're right. The jerseys do not make a difference, okay? But at the same time, it's kind of fun to know what they're wearing, when they're wearing it. And to Jeff's point, people definitely get fired up. Like, people care. Now, somebody tweet me, at JP Finley NBCS, or unless Jeff or Landfill can pull it up. I think they've been god-awful in the black jerseys since they introduced them.
I think they were.
I also, and maybe this is just me, I think there's more – jersey conversation this year because they've been, certainly the team and even the NFL have been kind of showing, like all of a sudden, they tried when the name change happened and then they were the football team for a while, it was like they tried to just erase all the history that happened. Mm-hmm. Now all of a sudden it seems like everybody can understand two things can be true at once. Mm-hmm. You know, they used to be the Redskins. They used to have this logo. They were an awesome team, and they started showing Santana highlights and your highlights and wishing Riggo a happy birthday. And all of a sudden, it's like, okay, we can still embrace this while moving forward.
Totally.
And I think, dude, even seeing Jaden Daniels last week in the Meadowlands wearing the Doug Williams jersey, you can't look at that Doug Williams jersey he was wearing.
Well, many people thought that was Terry McLaurin's jersey.
Well, I mean, those people need to get their heads checked or at least just have some semblance of history. But, dude, think about that Doug Williams jersey Jaden was wearing, right? And I just tweeted this out. And shout out to Zach Selby, who wrote a nice article for the Commanders website about the jersey schedule. But, like, you look at that Jaden Daniels, the throwback Doug Williams jersey he wore last week. And then you look at that Commander's current white jersey. Mm-hmm. That is so ugly compared to what was so crisp and historic and iconic.
I don't know if it's ugly. I just know it's not the right color.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Maybe it's not ugly, but
it's just not the right color.
No. And so I just feel like jerseys feel a little more relevant this year. I'll run through the schedule here. And, I don't know. Oh, they also have the gold pants coming back.
Yeah.
They're not revealing which game they're going to wear the gold pants. I'm going to read this damn article because Selby took the time. The Commanders will wear burgundy jerseys for the week one opener against the Bucks. That's on the road.
All right.
They're also going to wear the burgundy jerseys the following week at home. Now, here's what's interesting. Typically, when they wear the burgundy, they wear the white pants, I guess, or they just go all burgundy.
Sure. One of those times they're going to wear the gold pants.
Well, I mean, if they're not telling you and it's the home opener.
It may be that one.
Wouldn't you break them out then?
Possibly.
All right, good news. We got the stream up and running. Come join us on YouTube on the 106.7 The Fan page.
Listen, I know all the extra stuff around the game is important to a lot of people. But you know what's most important? The winning and the losing and getting better. I feel that if we put a lot of focus on that, and then we'll be able to talk about all the other stuff and it'd be cool. But it seemed like we put more emphasis and focus on all the outside stuff than we do the other stuff.
You know what jerseys I think are incredibly dumb? The Eagles, when they wear that jersey from like 1936, and the Steelers have that one that's like
that
stripes.
Look like they're going to the jail.
Yeah. But they're good, so everybody's into it.
There you go.
I am not – what you are saying is completely correct. Wins and losses matter above all else. But for the fans that care about the jerseys, I think it's cool.
The guy that's sitting up here trying to diss me just now about some damn jersey, I've never seen him with a jersey on.
Who's that? The great Lanfield. Lambini?
What the hell he's talking about?
Lanfield.
I saw him with a big old hat that had Eagles on it.
Lanfield, didn't you wear a Noggin Boss hat, like the big hat energy?
I did, actually, yeah.
No, Eagles. I think it just said Boss or something.
But he had an Eagles hat. Though. Remember, we bought it for him because he wanted one. He became a fan.
All right, let's do a quiz here. Did you ever own a sports jersey in your life?
I know a guy who wore an Eagles jersey. What are you talking about?
That's true. You did wear
I did,
an
yeah,
jersey.
And they paid me to wear it.
No, I know a guy who wore a Giants jersey, too.
Damn straight, because they paid me because the other team was stupid and let me go.
All right, hold on now. Did you ever own a jersey? Like when you were a kid, did you
like
have a...
somebody else's jersey?
Yeah.
No.
Even as a child?
No.
Okay. I believe you.
I had... I had a hat that said Muhammad Ali because I was a Muhammad Ali fan.
Yeah, but that's because Beamidge grew up in the 50s before wearing jerseys was a thing.
How about Chef Cooks on the stream just said Beamidge is the fun police, which may be accurate.
I'm the fun police?
Yeah.
Or I'm the no fun police. Which one is it really?
Either way, dude.
No, I'm not the police. I just like, you know,
whoop, whoop. That's
when
the sound
I hear
of the police.
People discussing this team, it's like some of the topics are so asinine.
There's avenues for different conversations. Dude, B, this is, if I may, and I'm not taking a shot at anybody here, this is the team announcing this. This is their in-house media.
I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying sometimes I'm like, okay, the other thing is more important than all that other crap. So, that's all I'm saying.
You're not incorrect.
Yeah.
But people do care about the other crap.
I know.
All right. Lanfield, what's the last jersey you owned? I'm guessing LeVar Arrington, Redskins.
I think it was probably Daryl Green or Champ Bailey.
Okay. Now, did you have any Yankees jerseys?
You got a picture of you in it. I need to see that.
No, but I had a lot of Scherzies.
Scherzies.
Tino Martinez?
Jeter. What are you talking about?
Jeter. Okay. Jeffrey. The last jersey Jeff owned is Sean Taylor, is my guess.
Hey, yo, that was fire. Yo, that was the first jersey like I bought. Like, I saved up my money. I worked that summer. I was like, I'm going to buy this jersey, and I bought it.
I got you.
I like it, Jeffrey.
Way to go, Jeff.
And then I haven't bought any jersey lately because I didn't know if that person was going to be here for at least 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's funny. If somebody was asking me now what jersey to buy, it's a little different with Jaden Daniels because if a quarterback hits, that's a cool jersey to have, and, you know, normally they would be around a long time. But I would
– What's the last damn jersey you had for the football team? Because the only jersey I ever seen you wear was a red Ovi jersey.
I have the Ovi. I have a Taylor.
I've never seen you wear that.
I'll be honest. I'm not judging anybody else that wears it. I feel kind of uncomfortable wearing it. It just seems weird to me to wear a jersey of a person that, you know, passed in that manner.
Giving credence to the person.
Totally. I'm not knocking anybody else for it. It's not for me. I have I had a Portis jersey when I was in college. That jersey got a lot of run. I'm trying to think as a kid. I had my favorite article of clothing I've ever owned, ever in my life. It was in sixth grade. I got a Redskins starter jacket that was like the pullover joint with the half zip and the logo on the back. It was black and said Redskins across the front. Mm-hmm. It was the dopest jersey I've ever owned. The dopest article of clothing I've ever owned.
Yeah.
Like nowadays, I don't even know that I have anything that I care about like I cared about that starter jacket.
I wore the little shirt my daughter gave me that looked like a baseball jersey, but it's actually a Commander's deal. I like that.
Okay.
Because it's different than anything else.
All right. Here is your official jersey schedule for those that care. Week 1 at Tampa, Burgundy. Week 2 at home against the Giants. That's the home opener. Jaden Daniels' debut, most likely, Burgundy. Week 5 at home, Cleveland, Burgundy. Week 7 at home, Carolina, Burgundy. That is also the Daryl Green jersey retirement, right?
Cleveland game?
No, the Carolina, I thought.
I don't remember. I don't know. Let me pull this up.
Yeah, see if you can pull that up. Week 10, they got the Steelers. They'll wear Burgundy. Week 12, Cowboys at home, Burgundy. Week 16, Eagles at home, Burgundy. Week 17, Kirk Cousins, Atlanta Falcons, Burgundy. They'll be wearing white on the road, Monday Night Football against the Bengals, at Arizona week 4, at Baltimore week 6, at New York week 9, which, come on, good weather. We'll play some good golf that weekend. Week 11, Thursday night in Philly. Week 15, New Orleans. Week 18, last game of the year against Dallas. You get the black jerseys at home against the Bears. Good God, don't be losing 27-3 at halftime. And week 13 against the Tennessee Titans. There you have it. There's your jersey schedule, folks.
All right.
Now, as dismissive as you are of the jersey schedule, you do think them retiring Daryl Green's jersey is a worthy kind of
non-football
because event.
The reason is because what Daryl Green did for 20, 21 years for this team was super out this world. And you know what? You should honor a person who did something at the level that he did it. The thing about the jersey, I'm not necessarily dismissive of it, but I think we make it into something bigger than what it normally should be. That's all I'm saying.
That's the sound of the police. Yo, it is JP Finley here, and I got to tell you about my friend Paul Henry. Working with Paul Henry has changed my home. You've heard me talk about it over and over. Lowered my utility bills. Just made our house way more comfortable. When you When you buy a house, you should be comfortable in your own home, and it's worth it to get new windows and doors because it's going to keep it cool in the summer and a lot warmer and cozier in the winter. And working with Paul, it's working with the family, man. He comes out, gives you an estimate, then his son comes and does the work. That's a good gig. You do the estimate, then make your boy go do all the work.
Yeah, you got to get him. You took care of him all your life. Now you got to make sure he takes care of you.
If you call Paul this month, you get $100 off each window with a 5-window minimum and $500 off doors.
And the thing about JP, he mentioned that you said it's a family business, and I love working with businesses like that because they take it serious because they want to make sure that name that you hear, Paul Henry's Windows, that you have a lot of respect for them. And they go out there and they handle business just like that. When they came to my house, they told me what they were going to do, and I have never questioned anything about them since. They did exactly what they said. They did it in a time, well, quicker than what they said they were going to do it, which is also great for me. And when they left the house, you could tell that they acted as if they hadn't been working there. You know, a lot of people come in, they do stuff at your house, they leave it all junky. Paul doesn't do that. He does a great job, and he's honest and he's trustworthy. And he doesn't try to rob you like a lot of people do. He'll come in, and I know the guy in the thread was talking to craziness the other day.
Don't let that guy.
He is not that dude. He's going to make sure he does it right because he wants you. Next time you need some work done, he wants you to call him back. So if you want to get some windows and doors at your house, reach out to Paul right now. You get $100 off each window with the 5-window minimum and $500 off each door. Contact Paul Henry's Window Installation today and tell him B. Mitchell Finley sent you. PaulHenry'sWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice.
Emilio! Listen, man, you got me and B. Mitch in South Florida. I don't think we need to start Scotty's Vodka Red Bull Friday any earlier than necessary. It officially kicks off at 11 a.m. Brian, I just saw something that I frankly don't like.
What's that?
Apparently they're going to make a movie about John Madden's life. That I like.
Yeah.
If you had to guess, like, an actor to play John Madden, who do you think has the... Because Madden was kind of everything. He was a tough guy, but he was funny. He was kind of fat, kind of...
Who's the guy that does all the voices?
Frank Caliendo?
Yeah.
Caliendo would be good.
He'll be it.
I think he might be too old now, but I feel like John Goodman would be really good at it.
He would be, but, you know, they have great makeup in Hollywood. They can make him look old and young.
I think John Goodman would be awesome.
Because most of John Madden's life is when he was old.
That's true.
So, because Caliendo won't play when he was young.
Right.
Doing of his life.
Who would you think of for a John Madden, the actor to play John Madden? Landfill, Jeff, everybody, fire away here.
Matthew McConaughey.
It'd be fun. I like McConaughey. He kind of becomes the McConaughey show.
All right.
But, like,
right.
I got no argument if you told me it was Matthew McConaughey. I think he died, but the dude.
Matthew McConaughey is not dead.
No, I'm thinking of another dude. You know that scene with Ben Stiller where the guy's shooting jump shots and keeps yelling Kobe and he's awful?
Nope.
No.
He was also in Mission Impossible.
Tom Cruise? He's too short.
No, dude, not Tom Cruise.
He's too closely associated with Dan Snyder.
He died. The guy that died. I don't know why I keep bringing him up because clearly he couldn't play Madden now. Jeff, you got any possible Madden actors?
Not at all.
Really?
I don't know who would play Madden, young or old.
Haley Joel Osment.
Is that the I See Dead People guy?
Yeah.
Here's what I know. I know somebody that should not play John Madden in a movie.
Who?
Beyonce.
The guy that's going to play him. In
who
the
is
Madden.
He?
Well, Beyonce be one person, yes.
Who is it?
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage is a great actor, Jay.
I hate that guy.
Why you hate him? He's a great actor. So
I just think he's terrible at everything.
What did he do to you?
John Candy. Is he alive? He'd be perfect. He looks like him.
Yeah, but John Candy.
I think he might be dead.
I don't know if he could pull it off.
I also think he's dead. Is John Candy alive?
I feel like John Candy probably died in the 90s.
Yeah, he died in 1994. I mean, that is 20 years ago.
Oh, my Lord.
Or is that 30
nah,
years
bro,
ago?
You got to stop with the numbers. Just let somebody else do it for you.
Is that 30 years ago?
Yeah.
Damn.
But you
John Candy's been dead 30 years, and we said he should play John
Madden.
We
didn't
Madden
say nothing. You said it. You said it.
He died in Mexico. You know one thing I think people shouldn't do that people obsess with. Whenever a celebrity dies, people are like obsessed with finding out how.
How, and, or they want to go to the place where it happened.
And a lot of times, unfortunately, the how is pretty sad, and there's, you know, all sorts of mm-hmm. things. The person died. Just let him be.
Yeah. I'm with that.
All right. So I think we've talked about this yesterday, B, that we were pretty impressed with how the Commanders looked yesterday. I thought defensively we saw a lot more of what I think they'll do in games. Not necessarily what we'll see tomorrow night when they'll keep it pretty vanilla, but when they were running that red zone right in front of us and we saw some of those double fire blitzes and where they were lining up some of their defensive linemen and the coverages.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed. I think,
you know, but I think the thing about it is, Jay, he has said those things in press conferences where they're going to have multiple ways of setting out their attack.
Right.
You're going to see people lined up in different positions. You're going to see a combination of people you wouldn't ordinarily see on the field. And the play when Mikey made his play on Tyreek Hill yesterday, one of those things happened. You know, and I'm not surprised when I see anything anymore because I have gotten to the point where I actually just listen to what Dan Quinn is saying. He tells you what he's doing. He's not one of those coaches who just throws stuff out there to throw you off. He's very honest in his answers. His whole staff is.
I agree. The level of honesty, it's easy for a coach to be honest and cool and everything right now because they haven't lost a game. There hasn't been a fumble. You know what I mean? Like, life gets a lot more real 6 weeks from now. But Philip Seymour Hoffman, thank you. That's the name I was looking for, but I'm pretty sure he's dead. But, Brian, the other thing, so defensively, I was impressed yesterday. I don't know that Miami really opened everything up. They also didn't have Waddle out there, and they were down a few offensive linemen. And what do you know? Down a few offensive linemen makes an impact. The defensive line starts to perform. I think a big part of why the Commanders' offense had more success, and let's be clear, Jaden Daniels in red zone drills threw 5 touchdowns. Would they all be touchdowns? It's hard to extrapolate directly from practice to what a game could look like. I think it's a little silly because the quarterbacks can't get hit. So sometimes even pressures aren't exactly what they would be in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But still, Daniels looked good. And I think having, what do you know, you had Lucas and Wiley back out there makes a huge difference.
It does. And I think that's the ultimate thing. Like, but we have to look at this fact as well. I know you said that some of their people were down. They may be down in the game.
Yeah.
Okay. And I know we put so much emphasis on certain names and certain players, but they're all professional athletes. They all get paid to play football. And if you have success against them on that day, you won that day. That's all that matters. I don't care who their starters are supposed to be because I don't know any team that every starter plays every play every year.
You know what's funny is, I mean, seriously, on a football team, the only position – There are 22 starters.
Yeah.
Right? There are 6 guys that, if in a perfect world, would play every snap. Everybody else is getting subbed in and out.
Quarterback.
And the 5 offensive linemen.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I, like, so when Dan Quinn said last
And your
month,
kicker and your punter, your, what's
Sure, called? But yeah. I don't think you consider them starters, right?
Or they're starters in their positions.
Okay, so then you're going to 25 positions and 8 starters, however you want to look at it. But when Dan Quinn said, I think it was last month, I think it was in July, that he's like, man, the way I look at it, I got 15 or 16 starters, especially on defense when everything is about different sub-packages. Mm-hmm. Like,
that's on offense as well. Like you start off the game in a 4-wide situation or you start off in a 2-tight-end situation. They started.
Right.
But they're not going to play the whole game.
Right.
So that's why I think a coach says that because no one runs the exact same play with the same personnel for a whole game.
Totally. And I, watching Cliff, I think there's going to be more variety. Now, it's going to be interesting because he likes to go somewhere between no huddle and up-tempo. Like, he wants his offense running at least in third gear and maybe in fifth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So when you do that, you can't sub. Because if you sub, then the defense gets a sub and it slows everything down.
Yeah.
So one thing to notice, and I don't know how much of this we're going to see tomorrow night, but, like, It will be interesting to see the personnel they start drives with because And that's sure, it's the start of the beginning of the game if they get the ball, but also the when they get the ball in the second quarter and in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. Because if he's going to try to go up tempo in situations, the guys that are on the field for the first snap of that drive will remain on the field as long as they're trying to go up tempo, no huddle.
True.
And I think when you look at the guys they've brought in and the versatility they bring, think mm-hmm. about Eckler.
Yeah.
He can run, he can catch. Ertz can obviously catch. Sennett can block and catch mm-hmm. and maybe line up in the backfield. McCaffrey, and this may be a down the road kind of guy, but they might line him. Like, a lot of these guys can give you a lot of not positional versatility, but if you're running an offense fast where you're not subbing guys out, they can give you different looks or play from different
looks. But the personnel grouping normally for the 2 minute and the up tempo stuff is normally one of maybe one tight end. The rest is receivers and a single back. And if you look at it, no matter go across the league, if they go into an up-tempo thing, it's going to be one tight end or no tight ends. Because what they're trying to do is get you in a situation where your smaller guys on the field as a defense, we still feel when you put your nickel guys out there, our O-line of five should be able to beat four, your defensive lineman.
See, I think they'll go – I think one thing that's exciting is I think they're not – I think you're correct. They will run plenty of that. But I think they'll run some where it is up-tempo out of 12 personnel with two tight ends out there, and it's Ertz and Sennett. And then if the defense sees that, and so then they bring more linebackers out, ideally you got Terry one-on-one on the outside. And, like, mm-hmm. Jaden's – if we've learned anything from Jaden's very brief performance in New York, when he see his guy has one-on-one on the outside, he's going to give him a chance. Yeah. I think there is a lot to be excited about. The simple question, tomorrow night we see Jaden Daniels two, maybe three series, you think?
Yeah. I'll go with that.
How confident are you he will be protected by the offensive line? Answers next.
What the fuck? There's no stopping us right now.
Close to you right now.
Traffic report, 11 a.m. Chick Hernandez is going to join us. Mr. Chick, if you're listening, you can come down to B's room, but you got to bring a mic. So I don't know if you have one. 11:45, tech exec making his triumphant return, real or fake, with Cody Betts. At noon, Kim Bocamper does Dolphins games down here in Miami. We saw him yesterday at practice. Yep. That dude looks like he can still play.
He's a unit.
Yeah, man.
I got a real or fake. Will the jerseys be white or pink?
From Cody?
From Cody.
I mean, you know.
No. Are the white jerseys real and the pink jerseys fake, or vice versa?
I don't know, but we'll find out. Kim Bocamper's listed at 6'6", 245. He looked like it yesterday, man.
He still look it.
That's a bad
dude. Look, he don't look much off of that.
No, he sure doesn't. And then 1 o'clock, we're going to open the phone lines up for Ask B. Mitch Anything. Here's what I wanted to do, though. Simple question. I'll start with Jeffrey. Can the O-line protect Jaden tomorrow, 2-3 series?
I think they can. And I think they can because that will be a combination of them holding their blocks, giving them time, and also Jaden getting the ball out and, you know, getting out of the pocket when it's collapsing and, you know, sliding to safety or getting out of bounds to protect himself as well.
The Landini. They're going to protect Jaden.
I do. I think it's mostly because Jaden's ability to move. I think that even if they are kind of struggling a little bit with the Dolphins' pass rush, Jaden will be able to protect himself. So I wouldn't be overly worried about him behind that O-line tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, I think this may be the offensive line that you may have to go with. And I think, yes, they can protect him. But just like somebody may lose one-on-one, then it comes down to the quarterback getting the ball out of his hands. On top of that, I understand he may play more than he did last week, but I still think that Cliff is going to call plays that are going to help protect him as well.
Sure. he's got to stay in him, though.
Right, I mean, but listen, all I have to say, when you get you a smart quarterback that understands what he sees and what works against it, You better just have something that doesn't have a checkoff. Because what he did last week, he was right.
Right.
Whether you want him to do it or not, if I have information that I can use, only way I won't use it if you don't let me have it. So you need to not don't teach me stuff early, or don't get a quarterback who you know is going to go ahead and look.
B, you know, in the horse racing world, you know, a horse wins a race, right? Dornick won the Belmont, I believe, and Dornick's life then becomes pretty awesome. He gets to be a stud,
mm-hmm.
and you pay
That's a hell of a life, right?
You pay millions of dollars for that stud, mm-hmm. right? You don't then tell him not to do what you want him to do.
Yeah.
If you got a stud, let him be a stud. Yeah. And I think I was joking about the Jaden Daniels thing checking out in the preseason, but I go back to the Hard Knocks when Brian Daboll tried to like get him in a weird spot and kind of make his brain malfunction, and he's like, I'll just throw a touchdown. Like when your default setting is I'm going to throw a touchdown, I don't want to change that default setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think this line will protect the Dolphins defense has also They lost a couple huge parts. Now, they got Chop Robinson. He'll be out there tomorrow night. I don't think, though, the Dolphins' defensive line the last few years had a fellow named Christian Wilkins in the middle who is a bad ass. He's on par with Quinnen Williams, who we saw, mm-hmm. in at least in the practice last week against the Jets, kind of take over. They lost Wilkins. So I think this is an advantageous spot for Washington's offensive line to get some camaraderie, to kind of play together, gel a bit. Because at this point, I'm not ruling it out, obviously. But with each passing day, it gets harder to see Brandon Coleman starting week one in Tampa, rookie left tackle.
It gets harder to see it, but you know what? I'm comfortable with Lucas, to be honest with you.
I know. You've said that for months.
I'm looking at this question from Tay Wilson. He said, but I kind of want to see him against some pressure.
Daniels?
Yeah. Okay. It's not going to be clean all year. So I when I saw his tweet, comment right here in the thread, I immediately felt as if, you know, I want to see that too. Cuz facing some pressure is not all that bad if you know how to get rid of it or get away from it. Because when the season starts, people are not running straight up for you. They're going to be doing all types of things, and you want to see how comfortable somebody is in the face of pressure.
Well, dude, even the
– So I agree with that, Tay.
Even the check bomb to Diami in New York, like he faced pressure on that. If you go back and watch it, he has pressure on the right side that he steps up, evades, steps over, plants, throws. So, listen, man, it's still pro football. The quarterback's always going to face pressure. He will certainly have some tomorrow night, mm-hmm. undoubtedly. I think they're in a much better position, though, with whether it's 1 or 1A on the left side with Lucas. Like, that's a starting – that's a guy they view as a starter. And then certainly Wiley's a guy they view as a starter. Mm-hmm.
But, see, you remember when I was talking about running back jobs a while ago, and I said that running backs, you have two things to do before you run the football. One is protect the quarterback, be able to block, and that's all one together. And on top of that, be able to protect the football. Then you run the ball. If you can't protect the football, we're not going to give it to you a lot. The running backs and the tight ends on this
team
right now.
Protect the football, you might not have a job.
Yeah, but the running backs and tight ends on this team right now, you can make yourself look even better. If you have a checkout, not a free release, even if I have a free release, if you just stick a hand on somebody, you give your guy a chance to get back on him. But when you have a chance to check before you release, you knock the living hell out of that end. That end is going to be slow the rest of the game. So you can help out your tackles, the offensive linemen. You know, as I said yesterday, if I was helping Jim Lachey, who was
a beast,
unbelievably good, these guys going to need some help throughout the year as well. And you got to be able to be that eraser for your offensive line. They're not going to be perfect every time. You know, sometimes you're going back, you trip over your own man's foot. You know, you may stumble a little bit. Somebody else can be able to slow that guy down or just hit him and get you back on him. And they're going to have to – it's a whole team effort when it comes down to protecting the quarterback, not just the five guys in front of him.
Jim Lachey was 6'6", three Bills, 294, had when he got to Washington. So they traded Jay Schrader to get Jim Lachey, right?
Had the best feet I've ever seen on all. Even his feet pulling was probably better than Trent's.
Bro, he had three straight all-pro seasons for the Skins, including 91 Super Bowl winner. Then he blows out his you almost wonder if he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory and then had a really bad injury. But Jim Lachey was a bad ass, dude. I remember that.
Followed him through a few holes.
How about this? Lachey was good enough that Jacoby switched to right tackle. Yeah. Now, that was later in Jake's career. I actually was reading something this morning. Jacoby is now up for the senior committee in the Hall of Fame. And we know Brian will get that call in 2028. But we got to – I'm going to see a call to action to get folks to support Joe Jacoby in his bid for the Hall of Fame via the senior committee. I got to get on that this weekend. Here's what we got to do. Chick Hernandez calls the games with Brian Mitchell. He joins us next.
Mr. Chick.
There's no stopping us right now.
Close to you right now.
Traffic report, 11 a.m. Chick Hernandez is going to join us. Mr. Chick, if you're listening, you can come down to B's room, but you got to bring a mic. So I don't know if you have one. 11:45, tech exec making his triumphant return, real or fake, with Cody Betts. At noon, Kim Bocamper does Dolphins games down here in Miami. We saw him yesterday at practice. Yep. That dude looks like he can still play.
He's a unit.
Yeah, man.
I got a real or fake. Will the jerseys be white or pink?
From Cody?
From Cody.
I mean, you know.
Are the white jerseys real and the pink jerseys fake, or vice versa?
I don't know, but we'll find out. Kim Bocamper's listed at 6'6", 245. He looked like it yesterday, man.
He still look it.
That's a bad
dude.
Look,
he don't look much off of that.
No, he sure doesn't. And then 1 o'clock, we're going to open the phone lines up for Ask B. Mitch Anything. Here's what I wanted to do, though. Simple question. I'll start with Jeffrey. Can the O-line protect Jaden tomorrow, 2-3 series?
I think they can. And I think they can because that will be a combination of them holding their blocks, giving them time, and also Jaden getting the ball out and, you know, getting out of the pocket when it's collapsing and, you know, sliding the safety or getting out of bounds to protect himself as well.
The Landini. They're going to protect Jaden.
I do. I think it's mostly because Jaden's ability to move. I think that even if they are kind of struggling a little bit with the Dolphins' pass rush, Jaden will be able to protect himself. So I wouldn't be overly worried about him behind that O-line tomorrow.
Okay.
Mr. Mitchell? I think this may be the offensive line that you may have to go with. And I think, yes, they can protect him. But just like somebody may lose one-on-one. Then it comes down to the quarterback getting the ball out of his hands. On top of that, it's going. I understand he may play more than he did last week, but I still think that Cliff is going to call plays that are going to help protect him as well.
Sure. he's got to stay in him, though.
listen, all I have to say, when you get you a smart quarterback that understands – what he sees and what works against it, you better just have something that doesn't have a checkoff. Because what he did last week, he was right.
Right.
Whether you want him to do it or not, if I have information that I can use, only way I won't use it if you don't let me have it. So you need to don't teach me stuff early, or don't get a quarterback who you know is going to go ahead and look.
B, you know, in the horse racing world, you know, a horse wins a race, right? Dornick won the Belmont, I believe. And Dornick's life then becomes pretty awesome. He gets to be a stud.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a hell of a life, right?
You pay millions of dollars for that stud, mm-hmm. right? You don't then tell him not to do what you want him to do.
Yeah.
If you got a stud, let him be a stud. Yeah. And I think I was joking about the Jaden Daniels thing checking out in the preseason, but I go back to the Hard Knocks when Brian Daboll tried to, like, get him in a weird spot and kind of make his brain malfunction, and he's like, I'll just throw a touchdown. Like, when your default setting is I'm going to throw a touchdown, I don't want to change that default setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do think this line will protect The Dolphins' defense has also they lost a couple huge parts. Now, they got Chop Robinson. He'll be out there tomorrow night. I don't think, though, the Dolphins' defensive line the last few years had a fella named Christian Wilkins in the middle who is a badass. He's on par with Quinnen Williams, who we saw, in at least in the practice last week against the Jets, kind of take over. They lost Wilkins. So I think this is an advantageous spot for Washington's offensive line to get some camaraderie, to kind of play together, gel a bit. Because at this point, I'm not ruling it out, obviously. But with each passing day, it gets harder to see Brandon Coleman starting week one in Tampa, rookie left tackle.
It gets hard to see it, but you know what? I'm comfortable with Lucas, to be honest with you.
I know. You've said that for months.
I'm looking at this question from Tay W. I guess Tay Wilson. He said, but I kind of want to see him against some pressure.
Daniels?
Yeah. Okay. It's not going to be clean all year. So I when I saw his tweet, his comment right here in the thread, I immediately felt as if, you know, I want to see that too. Because facing some pressure is not all that bad if you know how to get rid of it or get away from it. Because when the season starts, people are not running straight up for you. They're going to be doing all types of things, and you want to see how comfortable somebody is in the face of pressure.
Well, dude, even the...
So I agree with that, Tay.
Even the check bomb to Diami in New York, like, he faced pressure on that. If you go back and watch it, he has pressure on the right side that he steps up, evades, steps over, plants, throws. So, listen, man, it's still pro football. The quarterback's always going to face pressure. He will certainly have some tomorrow night, undoubtedly. I think they're in a much better position, though, with whether it's 1 or 1A on the left side with Lucas. Like, that's a starting – that's a guy they view as a starter. And then certainly Wiley's a guy they view as a starter. Mm-hmm.
But see, you remember when I was talking about running back jobs a while ago, and I said that running backs, you have two things to do before you run the football. One is protect the quarterback, be able to block, and that's all one together. And on top of that, be able to protect the football. Then you run the ball. If you can't protect the football, we're not going to give it to you a lot. The running backs and the tight ends on this
team
right now.
Can't protect the football, you might not have a job.
Yeah, but the running backs and tight ends on this team right now, you can make yourself look even better. If you have a checkout, not a free release, even if I have a free release, if you just stick a hand on somebody, you give your guy a chance to get back on him. But when you have a chance to check before you release, you knock the living hell out of that end. That end is going to be slow the rest of the game. So you can help out your tackles, the offensive linemen. You know, as I said yesterday, if I was helping Jim Lachey, who was
a beast,
unbelievably good, these guys going to need some help throughout the year as well. And you got to be able to be that eraser for your offensive line. They're not going to be perfect every time. You know, sometimes you're going back, you trip over your own man's foot. You know, you may stumble a little bit. Somebody else can be able to slow that guy down or just hit him and get you back on him. And they're going to have to – it's a whole team effort when it comes down to protecting the quarterback, not just the five guys in front of him.
Jim Lachey was 6'6", three Bills, 294, had – when he got to Washington. So they traded Jay Schrader to get Jim Lachey, right?
The best feet I've ever seen on all – even his feet pulling was probably better than Trent's.
Bro, he had three straight all-pro seasons for the Skins, including 91 Super Bowl winner. Then he blows out his you almost wonder if he was on a Hall of Fame trajectory and then had a really bad injury. But Jim Lachey was a bad ass, dude. I remember that.
Followed him through a few holes.
How about this? Lachey was good enough that Jacoby switched to right tackle. Yeah. Now, that was later in Jake's career.
Yes.
I actually was reading something this morning. Jacoby is now up for the senior committee in the Hall of Fame. And we know Brian will get that call in 2028, but I'm going to see a call to action to get folks to support Joe Jacoby in his bid for the Hall of Fame via the senior committee. I got to get on that this weekend. Here's what we got to do. Chick Hernandez calls the games with Brian Mitchell. He joins us next.
Mr. Chick.